This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They're dogs, and they're playing poker!
Live from YouTube, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show! I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and it's Follow Friday. That's on Twitter, of course, which we're celebrating because today is the anniversary of the day the platform was launched. Of course, emotions run high on that platform, so today, in headlines, we'll be talking about how money is emotional, too. To help you keep your head on when you deal with your money, today we welcome the guy whose emotions make the Terminator look like Oprah, OG. Joining us as well is the always trending host of the Afford Anything podcast, Paula Pant. And a man who was tweeting back when it involved a hammer and a chisel, Len Penzo. And now, a guy who's excited to follow you on your journey to stack more Benjamins, Joe Saul Sehi.
Happy Friday. So happy to be the first one to welcome you to your weekend. I'm Joe Saul Sehi. Very emotional about the fact that I get to spend time with this group of people today. Just brings a tear to my eye. The guy who brings a tear to my eye every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here with me, Mr. OG. How are you, man?
Mostly through frustration, I'm sure, but
What do you mean? Through frustration?
The tear to your eye is due to frustration.
No, I'll tell you, today it's actually because as we're recording this, I got off the road yesterday. Thank you to everybody that hung out with me across the United States. But I've spent, OG, about half the day sleeping. I got in at like 4 a.m. and got to sleep in my own bed for a couple hours.
Yeah, self-inflicted.
It was.
That was your travel schedule.
Absolutely. But still, you know what? Great to spend the night in my bed or in your guest room.
Early morning in your bed.
But yes, right, exactly.
And this is profoundly different than a normal Monday afternoon nap for you. In which way?
That is a good point. Not much different there. And a guy who is now taking naps because he is retired, Mr. Len Penzo here. You get tired of the fact that we always lead off with the old guy jokes, Len, because you're like a year older than me.
Yeah, no, I like the old guy jokes. It's fine. You just keep the those senior citizen discounts coming and I'm good.
Did you sign up for AARP? Have you signed up for AARP to get all the discounts?
No, I didn't. I didn't. But I do make sure when I go to Denny's, I do let them know that I do qualify for their senior citizen discount.
I do know somebody who will remain nameless, a relative of mine who we found out after he passed away, that wherever he went, he said, do you have an AARP discount? And they'd say yes. And then they would assume that he was an AARP number.
Very clever.
And he never
said, that's like the AAA discount.
Well, I don't want to encourage people to lie about their status. So I don't know if it's clever certainly not ethical, I would say.
You know, the hotels did that with the AAA. Just, they always say, are you a AAA member? And you say, yeah, and they give you 10% off. But I've noticed now you go to these hotels, they want proof of that AAA card. So don't embarrass yourself and say you're a AAA member unless you're a AAA member.
Words from Len Penzo happened at a Holiday Inn Express once to the Penzos. Yes. I'm sure. Yeah. Oops, I left my card. Oh, man, it's probably out my car. Right. I don't know. Yes. And the woman who, she does have a Lifetime Achievement Award. So maybe would that give you honorary AARP status?
You know, AARP is one of my podcast sponsors. So I think I might actually have an AARP membership.
How the hell do you? So the reason I joined AARP was because of the fact that I thought I was like in negotiations with them and I thought I might get a little AARP love. Instead, they give it to Paula Pant, who's like not even close.
I have the spirit of an average AARP member.
What the hell, Paula? How does
that- and long, beautiful hair?
the spirit, the lifestyle.
Hey, both of my hairs getting longer. Yes. Well, Paula, how are you, by the way?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm feeling emotional, very emotional, which is good today because we're going to talk all about emotions and your money. We've got OG here. We got Doug. We got Paula. We got Len. We got a house full of people hanging out with us here on YouTube. We make this podcast every Monday this summer on YouTube. So join us at 5 p.m. Eastern. You do the math on your time zone. And hang out with us while we make the show. Let's get into it. But first, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. It's Military Appreciation Month, and I want to share appreciation for one of our stackers I met in Cleveland for the second time. Keith just drove his car off the road. But Keith, a proud military member, I enjoyed seeing Keith. And you know what? Eric was there too, who was in the Marines. But both of these fine gentlemen served our country that I met in Cleveland. I want to give a shout out to them. And this Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate not just Keith and Eric, but all their members who go above and beyond. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. They offer 24/7 help from their U.S.-based member service centers. They offer resources like Best Cities After Service to help veterans transition to civilian life and Best Careers for Military Spouses to support our military families. All branches of the military, veterans, DOD employees, and their families are eligible for Navy Federal membership. Visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate this month, and you'll see all of our Military Appreciation Month offers and other Navy Federal offers. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. All right, now let's get this party started. This is a piece that we found from a popular website, Vox, and they talk about how a lot of the money advice that's out there doesn't work. And the reason is because, and this is the title of the piece, money's emotional, but personal finance advice rarely accounts for that. And this piece is written by Lindsay Brian Podvin, who is a financial therapist and dives into financial behaviors. And I guess we'll start right there. Len, you've been in this game a long time talking about money. How much are money and emotions intertwined?
You know, I knew you were going to go to me first because as the blogger for the personal finance blog for responsible people, I mean, if you're on, right? I mean, just look, I mean, I'm on the total opposite end of the spectrum here. You know, I do understand that there are people, you know, money is an emotional thing, but I come from the opposite direction, whereas it's like, you know what? Suck it up, buttercup. You got to get a hold of your emotions. You can't excuse them. And it, this is a fine article, but there were some things I hear I just disagreed with.
Oh, so. I can't wait. I can't. That is fantastic. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. But the reason why I went to you first, actually, Len, is because of the fact I think that you see that people, because they have too much emotion when it comes to their buying decisions, their selling decisions, their money decisions, that's where they make mistakes.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. That's when you do tend to make mistakes. And I'm not immune from emotional mistakes. I've made my share of emotional mistakes, too. The key is to try and control your emotions and separate your emotions from the actual decisions that your money decisions that you need to make.
Paul, are you on board with that?
I think that that is impossible. I think that if we deny that we are.
Well, you're not Len Penzo. It's not impossible to him.
I think what I'm hearing from Len, honestly, is denial, you know,
because in what way, what am I in denial of?
The notion that the idea that emotions, so I think that you're denying the fact that emotions are so strong that oftentimes people will deceive themselves into believing that they are being rational when in fact they are actually forming rationalizations in order to justify what they feel. But because they believe that they're being rational, they're actually doing a worse rather than better job of managing their emotions. And that if a person were to acknowledge that all decision making, particularly when it comes to finances, is inherently going to be emotionally biased, they could probably manage that emotion better than they otherwise could if they denied that emotions would play a role into that decision.
Well, I let me say this. I'm not in denial of that. I mean, I said myself that I make emotional decisions. And by definition, the emotional decision is going to be the incorrect, you know, in some cases, the incorrect decision. And you're not going to be aware of that. Most people don't make decisions against their best interest if they know that it's against their best interest. But the emotions will cloud that. And that's where I'm saying you have to, that's where the work comes in. That's where your muscle, you have to exercise that muscle and force yourself to be more strategic in your thinking and more less emotional and more logical.
But aren't your actual, a lot of your goals, your money goals, Len, I mean, aren't those emotional? And I'll give you an example. You have a time that you spent a ton of money at a Los Angeles Kings game where you were sitting in these badass seats, these awesome seats. It seems to me that's just the fact that you want it is emotional.
You are absolutely correct. I wrote about that. And I think the title of that was, I just made the most impulsive decision of my life. It was impulsive, but there was in the background operating was my brain going, do you still have enough money to do this? Yeah. Which I did, but it still hurt because it was so much money. I think I spent, I think it was $3,200 for two tickets to a Stanley Cup Finals game. So well,
it was, wasn't it awesome?
It was awesome. No. It was awesome.
That's actually funny that you point that out, Len, because I think that that draws this distinction that you're talking about, that for you, while it was costing you a lot of money, it wasn't a money mistake. You could afford to do it. You could afford to be a little emotional about that decision.
Yes. The only reason it wasn't it wasn't a mistake because I had the money. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't make mistakes in the past. I did make mistakes where I did make impulsive purchases. And I didn't care, or I justified it to myself that, you know what, I'll make it up somehow later on. I'll make more money or I'll do what I have to. But over time, as I've exercised that muscle, that logic muscle to control that, those impulses.
OG, as the pro in this group, I want to ask you about financial service providers, because we see these ads all the, I feel like financial service advisors prey on the fact that we're emotional, right? These things we want are emotional. And don't you think the Prudential can help you with that?
I mean, you're kind of starting to see it a little bit now with the advertising of different investment products and investment solutions relative to the market downturn. And people are having all sorts of angst around, you know, what their quarterly statements look like. And, oh, don't worry, wouldn't it be swell if you could have this one product that guarantees not to lose money or whatever, you know, whatever little thing that they want to wrap around, you know, this crappy product that they're trying to sell you. I read an article not too long ago. It might have been in the Wall Street Journal. I can't recall that said that wealthy investors are getting rid of stocks to avoid the volatility so that they can go into more profitable things like private equity. It's like, the hell? You know, it's all based on emotion. And, you know, I think Stephen Covey has kind of the best analogy out of all of this is like, if you can put a pause between how you feel and what your response is going to be, and the longer that you can have that pause be before you make a response, the better your decision is going to be. And I think, Paula, that's kind of what you were saying before earlier. Don't pretend you don't have any feelings around the issue. Be okay with the fact that it is what it is and it's how you feel, but then expand the time in which you're going to make a decision so that you can hopefully make a good decision. That's where she goes, yes, you are correct.
If she's listening.
There wasn't a follow-up question there, but yes, I would agree with that. The pause is how you become less reactive, because the longer that there is a pause, the less you are reacting and the more you are simply acting.
Paula, what's a buying decision that you've been on the end of where you thought it was, you know what, this is just an emotional thing for me. This is not a rational thing. This is a place where I'm just kind of emotional about it. So I'm going to spend the cash.
Technically, almost everything that all of us buy, other than the bare necessities that we need to survive, you know, we need basic shelter, basic food, and basic clothes, but that's all actually fairly cheap. Like if any of us wanted to, we could live in, you know, we could live like a college student lifestyle. And so anything that is an escalation from that is discretionary, and discretionary spending is emotionally driven.
I think that if I have to decide what food I want and I'm emotional about it, I'm eating at Len Penzo's house for like the rest of my life, because those have been fantastic meals. But Len, when it comes to you and budgeting, I mean, where's a place where you got emotional besides the Kings game, and maybe it was for the worst?
Well, I'll tell you where I really got it emotional was, I think I was 25 at the time, 24. And this was at the top of the last market, real estate market in Southern California. I was looking for a house. Prices were really expensive. And I felt the pressure that I had to buy to get, I was afraid if I didn't buy, I was never going to be able to buy. Because I just figured the prices were going to keep going up, 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 up. And the market was already at the top. So I bought a house that I really shouldn't have. And 3 months later, the market crashed and I was upside down for 8 years and I was really kicking myself. So I'd say that was my most emotional. I mean, I didn't put any thought into it. I was just so fearful I would never be able to have a home.
Well, what stinks about that, Len, is I also think that there probably was a salesperson who was helping you stay emotional about that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was. The realtor really was. I mean, he was a seasoned pro and he knew I was a little worried and he was fanning the flames, you know, because he would, I remember him saying these houses in this neighborhood have just gone up, you know, they went up 5% in the last 4 months. And I'm like, ugh, you know, so yeah, it didn't help. And like I said, that was a mistake.
Len, is this the house that was on the railroad tracks that you talked about before?
Yes.
Where the whole house like rumbled.
Whole house shook. Yeah, it was a mistake. And that's the other thing. I bought that house on the weekend. That's so stupid. I should have put two and two together. It was on the weekend. There was no train traffic whatsoever. And I felt, you know, I had to put in an offer for that house when I did. And so I did. And boy, was I surprised when I moved in the first Monday, man. There was like 18 trains a day, large freights. Wow. Oh, it was brutal.
You could have sold that house though on emotion, said, you know what, you don't have to pay anything extra for the real train experience.
No,
I'm gonna throw that in.
Here's another emotional mistake. I could have walked away from that house instead of, you know, and just totally destroyed my credit, but I stuck that out. I decided I was gonna stick it out. And yeah, or I could have just sold it a loss, but I didn't, although I really wanted to. So I put some thought into that, you know, to make sure, you know what, I'll just ride out the storm, which took 7 years, but
oh,
I did.
Oh, OG emotional time for you. And when later on you're like, man, shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I think Paul is right. Everything above, you know, your basic needs are somewhat of an emotional decision. I mean, we also bought a house at kind of peak housing market time in the early 2000s and got a crappy interest rate that I've talked about before. And also we're in it for 10 years and didn't make any money and finally broke even. So we've done that. I've certainly bought and sold stocks and investments at the wrong time for the wrong reasons, just because I've been rewarded for doing that nonsense too. I I played the AMC and GameStop game like crazy last year because it was fun. But I think, like Len was saying, there's a difference between doing it and, you know, not being able to afford it and doing it and being able to. Like when you said you spent whatever $3,000 for hockey tickets, I'm like, all right, cool. Probably a fun game. I've been to World Series games. I've been to hockey games, you know, and there some of them are expensive. We went to the College World Series just wrapped up. When Michigan played, we went to see Michigan and we bought 5 tickets and hotels at the last minute. And, you know, I mean, it was just, sure, it's emotional. It's something I wanted to do. But I think that from a financial planning standpoint, I don't think that it's my job, nor is it really any of our jobs, to tell you what you should do with your money. You know, like if you're good, if you've got your stuff taken care of, right, and you're on track for your goals, and Len, you want to spend $3,200 on airline tickets, be a bargain today's day, $3,200 on hockey tickets. You know, who am I to say that that's an important thing or not? You might look at the spending that I have and go, well, that's ridiculous.
I don't think it's about that though, OG. It's about regretting it, right? I mean, we don't want to have this decision. I don't think Len regrets a second of that. It was money poorly spent that he enjoyed the hell out of, right?
Well, I bet he doesn't even think it's poorly spent. I mean,
no, it wasn't poorly spent, but you know what? You know, it's emotional when you say, you think about it, that's a lot of money. And then you're that little voice in your brain goes, F it, you know, just do it. And that's what I did. Exactly what I did. It went back. I just said to myself, F it, you know, and I did it.
I do so have regret when I buy wine, because wine is the greatest thing in the universe, because you have to pay for it.
Said me after 3 glasses of wine every time.
Exactly. Well, and this year I was like, I'm not going to do it. They're going to send me the email. I already had it set up. They're going to send me the email. I'm just going to say, no, I don't want my allocation this year. And they sent it and it sat there and I was like, haha, I win. And then like, seriously, like a few bottles of wine into, you know, the weekend or whatever, I'm, you know, just like Amazon shopping. You're like, all right, I'm going to look at this. And they said, you know, they're really good marketers. They said, hey, you've got 3 days left on your allocation, and then you pay for it. And then you don't get the wine for like a year. So it's a brilliant business strategy, you know, pay us and then we'll deliver some stuff to you in the future.
Doug, were you going to say something there?
Only that, I mean, wasting it on wine is ridiculous. You're pissing your money away.
Oh, it's heaven.
Literally.
It's heaven. Literally.
Yep. Len got it.
Doug lost a whole bunch of money on his golf game this year. So I bet she's pretty much about God. That.
That has been such a lost cause. And I've put more money into my golf game this year than I ever have. And I am going in the wrong direction. it's unbelievable. The inverse proportion, the inverse results on that ratio are staggering.
What's your handicap, Doug?
His left hand is his handicap.
Yeah.
Basically, he can't get his body turned. That's really the major handicap. That's
the handicap. Yeah. The fact that I'm the one holding the club is the handicap.
His old joints.
As we do this live, we got some great chatter going on. And we've got my new friend Doug, who I've met just recently when I was in Colorado. Doug from the Mile High 5 podcast said he had the same experience, Len, with real estate and had a salesperson encourage him the whole time as well, and said he let it go to foreclosure. And it was a great move, just wiping that out, getting.
Yeah, you know, Doug, I didn't mean to say that it's different for everybody, but whether you choose to do that or not, go to foreclosure or not.
Yeah. Paula, I want to ask you about something that's in this piece. I don't want to talk a lot about these decisions we make that are emotional. We can afford it. I think that's what our life is about, right? Making those decisions. But when we can't afford it, like we had a recent guest on the show, Buffy Purcell, said the worst 3 words to somebody with their money is I deserve it, right? When you have no money and you just say, I deserve it. We know it's bad. And this is from the piece. They say, we know it's bad, but we keep doing it. If we know it's bad and we know it's taking us away from financial independence, why the hell do we keep doing it?
We do it because there's obviously some underlying need, emotional need. I mean, there's some underlying emotional need that is not properly being addressed through other channels. And because that underlying emotional need is not properly being addressed in healthier ways, it then gets expressed in these maladaptive ways.
We talk about, this piece talks about, OG, that people then go into the shame cycle, right? It becomes worse because we shame ourselves and go, man, I shouldn't have done that. And then all this negative self-talk just puts us in this, this kind of death spiral.
Shit all over yourself.
Yeah. 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 You must see that, I would think, sometimes with clients.
I think the really important thing is to recognize that once you are done with something, there's very little you can do to undo that. Now, if it's something like investing or something, you go, I invested in a bad thing, you know, you can sell it, or, you know, you bought a real estate you don't want, you can turn around and sell it if it's at a loss or whatever the case may be. But you are where you are from a financial planning standpoint, whether it's an income standpoint, whether it's debt, whether it's an investment strategy that hasn't worked out, or just no investment strategy whatsoever, and you've just piled a whole bunch of cash up. You can't look at your life and go, I'm an idiot. I shouldn't have done that. You mentioned self-talk and how your brain will try to make you be very trustworthy. So if you keep on asking yourself really dumb questions like, you know, oh, why did I do such a dumb thing? You know, your brain goes, well, it's because you're stupid. You know,
like, there it is.
Like it wants you to be correct. You know, it wants you to be right because you're really trustworthy to yourself. So instead of worrying about what the decisions were in the past, just take stock of where you are today and say, okay, here are the facts, and you know, what do I want to do tomorrow with this new information?
I think it's a great place to leave the first half of this discussion. The second half of this discussion, we're going to dive into more of what OG just foreshadowed, which is, what do we do about this? There's some pieces, there's some ideas in the piece. This is where I think Len might have a problem with some of the advice in the piece, I think, is not the way Len Penzo would handle this. But before we get to that, we have a year-long trivia competition going on between our three main contributors. And we got the whole team here today, Len, Paula, and OG. And what a fight we've got. Well, kind of. Paula Pant's not yet in the fight. I'm not sure, Paula, what the hell's going on, but you're behind.
Yeah, this seems to be pretty consistent for, let's see, every year we've ever done this.
We were talking
about... It's on brand.
Very on brand.
We were talking about this yesterday in the tour stop about Paula Pant is so brilliant and why the hell does she lose every year when it comes to the trivia? That wasn't me asking. That was our fans in Las Vegas asking the question. We have no idea. So people your back. Yes. Paula has 6.5. She and OG tied with 1. Len has 9. And somehow, OG, when you weren't here, Doc G not only said something that wasn't a million away when he was playing on your behalf, he actually won. Like, what the hell was going on there with Doc G winning? So you are now in the lead, OG, with 9.5. We got our question today. We got a new one. Let's see who's going to take the lead now. OG going to keep the lead? Paula getting back in the game? Len moving back up to the top? Doug, you ready?
There, stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. On July 15th, 2006, Twitter started as an SMS platform. And Len, I looked it up. SMS is an acronym for short message service, not suck my strawberries like you were trying to get me to say earlier. The name for the platform was inspired by bird sounds, and rejected names included Friend Stalker, because obviously we only use it to stalk celebrities. The turning point in the platform being used for breaking news came in 2009 when U.S. Airways Flight 1549 went down in the Hudson River. A man who was crossing the Hudson on a ferry took a photo of the plane and posted it to Twitter, scooping the news and pushing the platform to prominence. So my question is, obviously, how many people were on that plane that crashed into the Hudson? I'll be back with the answer after I check to see if anyone retweeted that photo of the rash on my upper thigh.
So much oversharing happens on Twitter, doesn't it? You know what's funny, Doug, is that when you and I were talking about this trivia, I thought that name for trivia was just Paulette being ridiculous. But that wasn't. That was actually Friend Stalking was a name that they thought.
Well, yeah. I can't tell you how many apps that I've tried to name Friend Stalker. And I mean, what is the purpose of the internet if it's not to follow people that you don't want to know when you're following them?
Right. If it's not to get around all of those rulings against you where now you have to stay so far away from people.
Like, I've got 3 private eyes following an OG right now.
Yeah, duh. All right, OG. Speaking of OG, big moment in Twitter's history when people started using Twitter for news. I'm sure you remember this. This seems like it was almost yesterday, but this is quite a while ago now.
This is the Sullenberg thing?
Yeah, 2009.
2009. Does seem like it was a little quicker than that. So how many people were on the plane? Including crew.
Nope, it's how many passengers. I'm actually reading Doug's trivia now. I should have let you answer instead of me.
Okay. All right. So it was a really teeny tiny plane, if I remember correctly, maybe two or three people on it. I'm going to say 171.
171. Len, this is a weird spot. First time this year, I think, that you're going second.
Well, it's nice to go second. It's hard staying in first, being going first. That being said, OG has made a tremendously good estimate.
Thank you.
So I don't have a lot of room for error here.
Basically, both
I'm
of
going
you guys
to, I'm going to, I'm just me. Definitely going to, well, Chelsea Brennan, you probably. I'm going to have to, because I'm sure that plane only held at most 100 and, this is just passengers, at most 180, I would think. Maybe 190. Was it a full plane? I think it was close to it. You know what's funny is I just binge watched a whole bunch of air disasters.
Did you?
Oh my God. I am addicted to that show.
A weekend of hilarity at the Penzo house watching other people. Yeah,
and that was one of the ones they did. But I can't remember for the life of me was on it. But that plane has to, oh gosh, which way do I go? I'm going to go for the high end, I guess. I don't think I have much room above 171, but I'm going to go 173.
And there we are. Well, you definitely, if she Chelsea Brennan's you on the top side and you're right, Len, she's got very little room for error then. So is this the Paula Pant squeeze going on?
Jeez. I mean, clearly my options are either 174 or 170. So which direction do I go?
Or 172.
I was going to say it's awesome if it's 172. And that's, by the way, been the case for Paula all season long. It is 172.
Yeah, you're going to say 170 and it's going to be 172 and it'll be right in the middle.
I'm going about third. Okay, I'm going 174.
Oh, Paula.
She takes the top side. You think that plane was full based on what Len said?
It was a big plane. It was like an 319 or something. It's like 3x3, I think.
So my thinking is on an airplane, and both of these gentlemen know much more about planes than I do. I simply ride planes. I have not neither flown one nor have I like manufactured one. But my thinking is that whenever I board a plane, there are typically 30 rows, and each row will have about 6 seats. So I'm guessing high.
It is funny, Paula. I didn't think about how this trivia is biased against you. A dude who works for a manufacturer, a guy who likes to fly them, and Paula.
And let's just say before we go, that flying it's totally safe. I mean, seriously, because think about it. They've never left one up there yet.
They always come down one way or another.
Normally lens setups just lead to a giant wah, 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 but that one was fantastic.
I didn't even see that one coming, Doug. Like I had no idea that one was even on the way.
Like even as he started talking, I'm like, oh God, please shut up, Len. Oh God, please no. Don't do this again. And then I'm like, oh, he did it. He pulled it off.
And Paul, I love what Eric says here, hanging out with us. So much thought into a random guest. So much thought. Exactly. All right. We'd love to tell you who our winner is, but we don't play that way. We will be right back. We all have smartphones and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they can also be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. Oh God. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for 5. That's right. U.S. Cellular, a company that sells phones, wants us to put down our phones and to see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Oh, gee, I almost said Len because I'm so used to Len kicking it off. Oh, gee, you kicked this thing off, and I guess it's good news for you that if the plane was half empty and the plane is about the size that you and Len think it is, hey, you might score another point here.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the videos that I saw and all of the, like the water taxis and stuff that were helping. I mean, it wasn't a small number of people, but I don't have any. I don't really.
You're at 171. Len, it's awfully snug where you're sitting, my friend, at 173.
Yeah. For me, it's going to have to be next week. Hopefully you have a question, Doug, that asks like how many buckets of popcorn fill the Empire State Building.
Yeah. Back to the rational questions. Right. Len with 173. Paula, if that plane was packed, like OG's talking about.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, my guess was very anchored. So I'm just going to kick back and see how this goes.
I'm rooting for you, Paula. We can't let OG, this can't get out of hand.
Well, let's see which of you is the anchor on this podcast.
Hey there, stackers. I'm SMS pioneer and emotional innkeeper, Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. 361 billion tweets are expected to be posted this year. Do you have any idea what trying to read 361 billion tweets does to a man? I am worn out over here. Can't even keep up. The company is, of course, worth about $44 billion. That's like a dollar for every bot, according to Elon Musk's whims this week. But if it weren't for that amazing landing by Captain Chesley Sully Sullenberger, we might have been talking about another platform right now. So, how many passengers were saved that day? 153. That means OG is our winner.
How about that?
Chelsea Brennan down the wrong side.
Again.
Always. I always do.
I thought OG was going to talk you out of it there for a minute.
Paula, my spouse, Cheryl, is maybe the smartest person that I know. But driving, I always recommend I always recommend that if she thinks that the next turn is right, she should probably turn left, because every other piece of her life except driving, she's amazing. I think it should be that with you for trivia. Like, if your gut says go the upside, I think we played this game long enough, Doug, that Paula should probably do the opposite.
Can only lead a horse to water so many times, Joe.
Yes. Well, coming up here in the second half of our discussion, we are back talking about emotions. So let's go. I forgot about this one. Speaking of you, Paula, Rick hanging out with us talks about paying a lot of money for emotional experiences. You got way emotional about that mac and cheese ice cream.
Oh, no, that is there's nothing more logical in the world than eating ice cream flavored like macaroni and cheese.
Oh, gee, when I was at your house just before this last segment of my tour, you had some what was that? Mac and cheese flavored.
Mac and cheese.
The candy canes. We've talked about candy canes. We've already been down this path.
That's right. Well, you have been. Yes, absolutely.
I think Chapstick should make a macaroni and cheese flavor.
That would be amazing.
That would be awesome. I totally agree. And by the way, does anybody absolutely hate the buttered popcorn flavored Jelly Bellies?
Oh, yeah. Whoa. They're not good.
Okay. Send them all to me because those are my favorite.
Oh, my God.
I was just thinking, in theory, those should be really good, Doug, but they're fantastic, not so much. Speaking of fantastic, second half of the show brought to you by Magnify Money. You know what happens, Len, when you go to StackyBenjamins.com/Magnify Money?
Yeah, you give out a free A free coupon for macaroni and cheese ice cream. One cone.
That would bring in nearly as many people as this sponsored spot does.
Oh, okay.
Second most people, because it's actually when you shop at brick and mortar banks, those products you use like savings accounts, checking accounts, CDs, not best in class. There's tons of stuff all over the internet, internet only banking. Head to stackybenjamins.com/magnifymoney to take a look at over 92% of all the things out there ranked head to head for banking products. And it's time, by the way. Things are changing. We're seeing interest rates finally go back up. You know what's wild, OG, is it only took the Consumer Price Index to get to, I think, a bajillion for us to get 1% on our savings account again. So, yay.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hashtag awesome. Let's dive into this second half. Len, I want to start with you because I'm sure that this is exactly in your wheelhouse. Our author of this piece says, we should have some financial self-compassion. And I know that that's the self-talk you use when you're trying to make less emotional decisions.
Yeah, well, I agree with the part, but, you know, you're not a bad person for making mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. We all make mistakes. To me, the key is you have to learn from the mistake and you have to take ownership of the mistake. And if you don't do that, then the compassion kind of just doesn't help you at all. It almost becomes an excuse. So, I mean, that's where I'm in. And I know a lot of people might think of that as being hard or whatever, but that's just how it is. You know, you've got to own up to it and you've got to admit the mistake and learn from it.
Paul, I do think that Len's got something there. There's a fine line between financial compassion and just an excuse. Hey, I got to love myself. So it's okay that I continually stepping it over and over again.
I think we're talking about the distinction between fault and responsibility. If you spiral into feelings of excessive guilt or shame, and you're constantly blaming and shaming yourself, then you feel as though all of your problems are your fault. And that is emotionally a very different feeling than the alternative, which would be to accept that these problems are your responsibility, that you may have been responsible for getting yourself into them and that you are certainly responsible for getting yourself out of them. But there's no sense of like moralistic judgment there. It's simply, this is what is, and this is what we got to do next.
It's interesting, Paul, while you're talking, I'm thinking about when I was in college and I was taking these writing classes. And one of the very first things, because our writing was being evaluated all the time, and some people would get really, really defensive, right? Well, no. Like, I am a good person. And our professor warned us, there's a difference between your writing and you. Your writing is not the same thing as you. And I think what you're saying is kind of there's a difference between these decisions you're making and who you are.
Right. Exactly. And oftentimes it can be tempting to think that excessive self-blame or self-shame might motivate you to do better. But oftentimes the negative self-image that we have, you know, we want to be consistent with our image of ourselves. So if we develop a negative image of ourselves, we may subconsciously start acting in negative ways in order to prove to ourselves that we are as devalued, as worthless as we see ourselves. So yeah, actually,
speaking of shame, you know, I want to point out Doug, he doesn't worry about shame. He's wearing that Detroit Tigers hat. And
is that no shame? We're totally proud of our misery. We're okay, fighting the good fight.
I'm just kidding. I'm just playing
Detroit
around
sports right now. No. It's good because when we finally win, baby,
That's right. It's nothing better than as a long-suffering LA Kings fan. That's so sweet when you finally get there. Yeah.
What sport do they play?
That's right. I'm talking. Yeah, I know. You got bragging rights, Mr. Red Wings. I get you.
Lots of reasons, Len, to drink a beer if you're a Detroit fan. You do it when you win occasionally,
exactly,
and you do
exactly
it when you lose. It's like,
it's great for concessions.
You get all the above. OG, I want to go to you for the next point that they had in this piece because, this is really kind of what you do. But this idea of asking for help, like I didn't think about asking for help and emotions. Like if you're consistently making these bad decisions, telling people that you're going to make this decision ahead of time, running it by people might be a good way to stop making so many crappy decisions.
Well, or just kind of learn how to make good ones, right? I mean, just no different than any other thing that you're trying to do, eat healthy, exercise, learn a new skill, learn a new sport, all of these things require other people's guidance along the way, generally speaking. And even if you say, well, I don't need a nutritionist to figure out what to eat, like, you probably did some research on your own. You probably listened to a podcast or read a book, and that's no different than asking for help in a different way. So why is it any different when it comes to money? You know, if you're really great with money, good job. Congratulations. You know, you somehow figured it out. If you're not, like, okay, that's okay too. There's other people who have been up and down this path a million times. So why don't you just latch onto one of those people who go, oh, I know where to go. I know where all the, you know, all the pitfalls are, and I know the smoothest way to get there.
I love this idea, Paula, of surrounding yourself with the right people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And choosing the right people is itself a skill set, because it's hard to know in a world where there's so much noise. It is hard to separate those who have good judgment from those who do not. And so credentials do not necessarily equal judgment. You know, I think that's one piece of it. Confidence.
What do you mean by that? Credentials do not equal judgment. Are you saying somebody can have a lot of great credentials and not really be phenomenal?
Exactly. A person might, you know, have all of the right paperwork and all of the right training and licensure, but they may not, you know, they may just be a mediocre thinker. Those are really different skill sets.
And vice versa, too.
Correct. Yeah.
Vice versa. Just because you don't have all those degrees or what have you doesn't mean you don't have the wisdom or the book smarts or the experience to share.
What about this idea, Len, and this comes from the piece, research has found that the more frequently we experience a sense of progress, like a small win, the more we're likely to continue that positive behavior. How do you like this idea of celebrating the small wins?
Yeah, I think that's essential, actually. Those little victories are, I guess, on your little dashboard of life. Those are self-reinforcing, and they help you stay on path and on target, and they reinforce good habits. So yes, I'm all for celebrating those victories.
What did you really disagree with this piece, Len?
One of the ones that stood out to me was, I wrote this down, so I'm sorry, I'm looking at my notes here.
It's all right.
She was saying that inferring that we are influenced by, when we're younger, by a lot of individuals, that we soak things up like a sponge. And for example, they said your parents, if your parents are poor, you know, they have poor habits, that you're likely to be that way. And I don't think that's true at all. I don't think that's true at all, because my dad was one of those. She specifically mentioned people saying, you know, I'm going to spend every last penny. You know, I'm not going to die with any money. I want to spend my last dime. That was my dad's mantra growing up. And he lived that until his dying day. And he was actually in some financial distress when he finally passed away. And I was the total opposite. He told me that as I was growing up. His saying was, I never saw a Brinks truck follow a hearse. I mean, he said it jokingly, but that's how he lived.
He lived the
YOLO.
Die broke. Yeah,
the YOLO yes. life.
And he died broke. Unfortunately, he was broke about 5 years before he passed away. And so God love my dad. And he's a great man, but you know, we all have our flaws, but he didn't learn from that. So
this is interesting, OG, what Len's talking about, because, you know, we've had guests on the show that learn from positive people around them. And we also have people that have learned from negative people around them. And I feel like it's not so much what happens to you as how you respond.
Well, it takes a different type of, I think maybe a stronger person to be able to pick through it all. So Len, obviously you took what the good stuff that your dad did and the good stuff that your aunts and uncles and grandma and grandpa and all that sort of stuff and kind of applied that to your life. And then there was probably some things that you observed that you didn't want to do. And you're like, well, I'm not going to do that. Like, I see how that's working. Not well. So I'm going to do a different thing. But I bet that there's more people who just kind of fall into the trap of this is what I know than anything. So it's probably true that there's more people who are on the other side of it than are on the side that you're on, Len, which is a good thinker to be able to peel away the good stuff and discard really the not so good stuff.
You're saying more people are more likely to fall close to what's at the apple not falling far from the tree.
Yeah, but there's a lot of studies also about, especially you mentioned about people who are economically, you know, have issues, poor people or poorer people, I should say, that generationally, it's like the third generation is not. So if your grandparents were poor, the likelihood of you being poor is pretty low. And so I think some of that is, Len, what you're talking about, where you've seen it for a couple of generations and you're like, yeah, I'm going to do something different.
You know what I will say too, OG, is going to my dad, his mom, who was very poor and she didn't make a lot of money, she saved and scrimped and saved. And when she passed away, she left a sizable amount of money. So my dad did not pick up from her.
Yeah,
so
he saw the alternative, which was that she was scrimping and saving and probably not doing anything fun and was like, screw that. What do I need to die with a whole bunch of money and give it to my snot-nosed kid about? Like, he's doing fine.
Yeah.
YOLO!
I think that's a good place to wrap this up. I'd like each of you, though, to give us kind of a good takeaway for people, because I think emotions and money, Paula, like we've been talking about this whole time, intertwined, whether you want them to be or not. So if you're giving people one final encompassing piece of advice when it comes to money and emotion, what would you tell them?
I'd say before you make any decision, pause and verbalize how you are feeling, both in that moment and about the decision. Try to verbalize that to the best of your ability to do so. And then once you kind of acknowledge that and, you know, admit that it's okay to feel this way, I think that kind of allows you to then find an alternate way to acknowledge or address the feeling that doesn't necessarily lead to a particular financial decision that you otherwise might have made.
Len?
We all make emotional decisions. Some, I understand there's some that make a lot more than others, but the key is to learn from your mistakes and apply what you've learned and do your best at all times to separate your emotions and at least try and think logically before you make any final decisions.
An OG?
Figures, they take all the good ones. I would just say when it comes to money and decision-making in general, just be okay with where you are and don't give yourself a lot of grief over the decisions you've made in the past. Very few people I've run into purposefully make poor money decisions along the way. They're a result of, a cascading series of maybe not so great decisions, but nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to try to figure out how to screw up my life today. You make decisions based on the information that you have, and sometimes they're not the best ones. So you are where you are. Just make good decisions moving forward. You have plenty of time to get it together.
And that's why I think on my end, I really want to draw attention back to, again, salespeople who are trying to separate you and your money by using emotion, by pulling on those emotional heartstrings, to watch out for those people because they're out there. And I think we've all fallen prey to that, making some decisions, maybe not buying a house along the railroad track so I get the railroad experience 18 times a day. We haven't all made that one, Len, but holy cow, that's a lot of people out there that are separating people and their money. All right, that's going to do it for today. Let's find out what's going on where you guys are. OG, you're celebrating the month of July in a cooler climate.
Yeah, kind of all over the place. As is coming to air in the middle of July. The wife and I are in Chicago for a little work trip thingy for a day and a half. And then back to Northern Michigan for another week. And then we'll kind of part ways for a little bit. I'm going to go do an air show in Northern Wisconsin for a week, and then a little after school activity picks up late July. So
awesome.
Fun stuff.
Get rolling on your fall fun. That's like when OG starts mentioning after school activity, that means that fall is on the way.
Fall is on its way.
Yes.
That's correct.
Mr. Penzo, what hat's going on? What hat sets? I don't know what I'm saying there. Len, what's going on at lenpenzo.com?
Well, you know what? I'm flying up to the Chicago area right after this podcast here. And then I'll be actually hanging out in lower southern Michigan for a few days. So my niece is getting married. So I know Michigan's a big state, but
which part of
Michigan? East of the Mississippi.
I'll be out in New Buffalo.
New Buffalo. Oops. The New Buffalo Grand Haven area.
Better than the old Buffalo.
That's right. As they say. Right.
Unless you're from the old Buffalo.
Yes. And then the old Buffalo is much better. Paula Payne.
Josh Allen.
What's going on at Afford Anything?
On the Afford Anything podcast, we recently spoke with Scott Nations. He has spent his career studying market volatility. And so in our interview, he talks about the anxiety that a lot of investors are feeling right now. And actually kind of it ties in perfectly with what we've talked about. He talks about how anxiety and fear and a lot of those negative emotions lead us into making very irrational decisions. And so we specifically talk about that through the lens of cognitive biases, ways that we deceive ourselves, mental models that we don't even realize that we have. And we describe some of those cognitive biases and how we can overcome them in order to master that mental game of investing. So that's on the Afford Anything podcast, available everywhere where finer podcasts are found.
Or finer podcasts. And by the way, Paula, just when it comes to trivia, I think the big lesson today is whatever your cognitive bias is, go the other way.
It's the inverse Paula index.
That's got to be it. Yeah. All right. That's going to do it. Doug, you've got it from here, my friend. What should we have learned today?
Well, Joe, first, everybody calm down when it comes to your finances. My God, because emotions, they will affect your decisions. Just settle down. Second, you never know what catastrophe might turn into a huge win for your business. Sounds like a pretty great business strategy to me. But the big lesson? Why call 911 when you can just tweet? Be sure to post a picture of whatever disaster you're seeing. And just be sure to add the hashtag 911. No, I'm not talking about like when a little kid is choking. Use the real 911 for that. I'm talking about like when OG is wearing his skinny jeans or Paula's wearing her area rug shawl. Hashtag 911. God help us. Thanks to Paula Pant for joining us today. You'll find her podcast, Afford Anything, wherever you're listening to us right now. Thanks to Len Penzo for joining us. You'll find Len at lenpenzo.com/hockeyloser. Thanks also to OG for joining us today. Looking for pretty good financial help? Call OG. Looking for great financial help? Call me. But you don't have my number. So go to stackingbenjamins.com/OG. You'll get his calendar. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC, copyright 2022, and is written in part by Paulette Perhatch, who helps writers power their words, their work, and their earning potential with her Powerhouse Writers Coaching Program. The next session starts in the fall. Find out more at powerhousewriters.com. Thanks also to our team who made today possible. Brooke Miller is our producer and handles the show notes and our amazing newsletter, The 201. Tina Eichenberg and Gertrude Smith are our social media mavens. This show is engineered by the amazing Steve Stewart. Not only should you not take advice from these Pop-Tarts, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any financial decisions, speak with a real financial advisor. That's it for today. We'll see you back here on Monday on Stacking Benjamins.
Welcome to the after show. It is always so weird doing this live. We're just sitting here staring at each other.
You know, we don't have to.
Oh, yes, we do. We have the live fans here.
Okay, but I'm saying like we can skip the pause part and just do it.
No, trust me, they don't like
looking at us for 60 seconds.
Fix it in post, bro.
No, absolutely. We'll do it live. Absolutely. Mike asking me what my favorite beer. I tasted two. He asked, did you taste one from each stop? Unfortunately, yes. And by unfortunately, I mean, they were delicious. But you know what? Making a good beer is, there were lots of good beers. I remember I saw Eric in Indianapolis who's hanging out with us. They had some mighty fine beer in Indianapolis. Paula, any of those stops that you were at with us?
We went to a brewery. Where were we? It was where we ate the chicken pot pie. What city was that? We went to so many cities, they blend together.
Yeah, I know they do. Yep, right? That was in Philadelphia.
Yes, that was in Philadelphia because I also had the spring rolls with steak.
Because yes. The chicken pot pie there was not that great.
It wasn't.
I was all excited about it. It was a cold day. It started snowing. We were outside and I'm signing books and it's snowing while we're out there. But a super group in Philadelphia. Funny thing happened in Philadelphia. We did a thing with Million Stories, who sponsored the tour, talking about cell phones, difference between Android and iPhone users. And in Philadelphia, I would always jokingly ask, does anybody have a flip phone? And remember, Paula, there was a dude who had a flip phone.
Yes, yes, there was. And he worked for Vanguard, of course. He worked
for Vanguard.
Of course.
And so we asked if it was a company phone. Like, can you imagine Vanguard with their no frills, like handing out? Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, you get a company phone. Here you go. This cost me $18 down at Walmart. Yeah. It was.
Here's your company, BlackBerry.
It was super good. I was just going to ask you guys what you've got coming up, like summer fun wise. We even talked about summer fun that you guys are doing. Len, what do you, besides heading to Michigan, AKA God's country, as we call it, any big plans the rest of summer?
Well, I go to the desert usually every summer and fry out there, usually hang out at a really posh resort. That's usually, you know, it's like, you know, $600 normally a night, and you can get there in the middle of Palm Springs. So you get the place for $100 a night and you still get all the amenity. It's really awesome.
At first, when you said you were going to the desert, I'm like, as you do, because who would go in the middle of, you know, winter to the desert when it's actually manageable? But you showed me pictures of this place and it's freaking incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And they treat you like, let me put it this way. They throw giant, like 50-pound blocks of ice into the pool to keep the pool super, super cold. So, I mean, that's service. That's service.
That is fabulous. We're talking about Lake Mead drying up and we're throwing water. So the Penzos get exactly what they want. Oh, gee, going back to Northern Michigan. I remember, wasn't it last year when you were in Northern Michigan? It was like cold as hell the whole time you were there. Wasn't it freezing?
Yeah, there's always a couple of really crappy days. Hopefully it won't be too miserable. I mean, it was like, I think there was like a stretch of 3 or 4 days where it was in the mid-50s, which that's not summer.
I feel kind of lucky having lived in different places in the United States, because growing up, I always thought this was a Kalamazoo, Michigan thing. Because, you know, my relatives would go and you grow up there and we didn't really go anywhere. Well, you know, Michigan weather, West Michigan, if you don't like it today, come back tomorrow. And then I moved to Texas. Well, then I go to school in South Carolina and in Charleston, they're like, well, you know, Charleston weather, you don't like it today, come back tomorrow. Then you go to Texarkana, same thing. Like, wow.
No, the weather here is always the same though. I mean. Although today was a little chillier in the morning. I think it was only like 75 this morning.
Hot with a side degree of humid. Yeah. A side pleasant. Side course of humid.
Rick's on a roll. Good job, Rick.
Yeah.
What is
Rick's comment was, nothing beats the experience of watching OG's expressionless face during intermission. Oh, wait, that was the whole episode. And Rick, OG and I spend most episodes trying to crack each other up by when we're texting back and forth, and I never get him. He cannot get him. He's emotionless.
Yeah, which is why this topic was just really right in my wheelhouse.
Emotion. All emotion with OG all the time. Rude Duck says we can get Steve Stewart dad an empty slot for a minute instead of the pause. No, we're doing it live, man. We're doing it
live. Doing it live.
And I especially like doing it live even more that OG doesn't like it. So that makes it even better. Paula, what's your summer plan? Then we'll get out of here. Well, I forgot to ask.
I was about to say, I like the pause. I like the pause.
I do too. Yeah. Big plans this summer?
I'm going to Greece. That's my big summer plan.
I heard so. Greece is the word. Isn't there? Didn't I hear that somewhere? Greece is the word.
Greece is the word.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah. You said that to the wrong person, Joe.
Is that this must be a pop culture reference of which I am unfamiliar. Yes,
it is.
Is it a coincidence that Greece and Turkey are right next door to each other?
You had us all with the airplane thing and then you just brought us right back. Like
I didn't even set it up. I just jumped right into that.
Yeah, I know, but
Len, I just went to the doctor and they said that I had the peekaboo virus. So they sent me to the ICU.
Thank you. Doug.
Yeah.
What's the difference between an oral and a rectal thermometer?
The answer I want to give, I can't say. So I don't know.
The taste.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh yeah.
No.
I was going to say a much cruder version of that.
Len, it was so good when they left it to the pros. When they left it to the dad joke pros, we were good.
That's all right. And you know, I want to say this about Doug. You know, you talk about my setups. I've heard your setups too. They go forever and ever and ever and ever.
All right. I think it's probably time for us to say bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, this show's over, Stackers, but you know what? It's Military Appreciation Month, and that means that we've got time still for a shout-out to members of our community, members of our family who have served our country. And you know what? Today, I want to give a shout-out to two of my uncles, my Uncle Henry, who is in the Army. Let's do three. My Uncle Eddie, who was in the Army, and my Uncle Bill, also in the Army. And two of them served in Vietnam, one served in Korea. And a big thanks to all three of my uncles, my dad's brothers, who served like he did in the military. And this Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate not just my uncles, but they want to celebrate their members who go above and beyond. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. Of course, you may be eligible for Navy Federal membership and you don't even know it because it's open to all branches of the military, veterans, DOD employees, and their families. They're all eligible, and I want to reiterate, and their families. If you have family, like I do, who served in the military, well, then you're eligible for Navy Federal membership. Navy Federal's employees are part of the community they serve, and many of them are military family members, reservists, or veterans. Here during Military Appreciation Month, Stackers, go visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate, and you're going to see all of Navy Federal's Military Appreciation Month offers. So many cool things they're doing for veterans. You'll also see all their other awesome 24/7, 12 months of the year offers. That's NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.